Through the written word and the spoken word, may we hear the living word of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This has been a tough week for an optimist. My wife calls me the eternal optimist and that I can find the silver lining in any situation. When I started writing this sermon last Sunday night at the kitchen table, it was very difficult for me to find God's love in the handiwork of the last few months. And not being able to see God's love in a situation weighed heavy on my heart. This week has been a roller coaster type of week, full of hope and despair. And I usually turn to the scriptures to help me find a path out of the wilderness, because I really felt I was in the wilderness. And the path that I found was that of the story of Joseph. Last week we heard how Joseph, the dreamer, the favorite son, was hated by his brothers, how they planned to kill him, but ultimately sold him into slavery just so that they could get rid of him. This week we see Joseph's forgiveness to his brothers, and all is well. Well, isn't that a lovely family reunion? But it's more complicated than that. A great deal happens to Joseph between the time being sold into slavery and forgiveness. Let me fill you in a little bit of what happened to him during that time of being sold to Egypt. 20 years goes by. When Joseph arrived in Egypt, a lot of things happened to him. Some good, some bad. Joseph worked in the house of Potiphar and was placed over all of his wealth. That's pretty good. Then his wife tells lies about him, and Potiphar puts him in prison and sends him into jail because of the lies that she said. That was bad. But the head jailer took a liking to him and put him in charge of all of the other prisoners. Joseph used his God-given gift to interpret dreams to the other prisoners. Joseph was stuck in jail for 2 years, though. Now, during that time, Pharaoh heard that Joseph and his ability to tell dreams. So Pharaoh released him from jail so that he could explain Pharaoh's dreams. Pharaoh believed what Joseph told him and put him in charge of the entire land of Egypt. Just as Joseph had told Pharaoh, the dreams that he was having meant that there would be 7 years of harvest and there would be great and plentiful food. Then there would be 7 years where there would be nothing. God was telling Pharaoh to set aside during the good years so that there would be food for the bad years. So when the bad years came, there was still plenty of grain in Egypt, but all of the countries around Egypt had none. So people from the surrounding countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph. Some of these people were his brothers. When his brothers came, Joseph recognized them immediately, but they did not know who he was. After all, it had been many years since they had seen him. And they probably didn't expect the slave to be in charge of Egypt. Joseph met his brothers several times without telling them who he was and played with their minds a little bit. Joseph was not looking like the easygoing, forgiving type of guy right then. He struggled letting go and did a lot of soul searching. Ultimately, Joseph places Benjamin in prison and recreates the situation where his brothers have to choose between selling Benjamin up the river or foregoing their rewards or all of the grain that could have been theirs. Finally, Joseph could hold it back no longer. He tells his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father alive?" But his brothers were speechless because they were afraid. But Joseph said, "Come closer. I am your brother, the one you sold. Don't worry. Don't be angry at yourselves for selling me into slavery. You see, it wasn't you who sent me here. God has put me here to save the people from starving. Now go and tell my father all about the high position I hold in Egypt and tell him everything that you have seen, but don't take all day. Hurry up and bring him back. Eventually forgiveness comes, but because of a few factors. First, Joseph focuses on the future and not the past. Things he cannot change. What is done is done. He states that he will provide for his family and be generous towards them, bringing his family to Egypt to save them from starvation and also setting up for Exodus. Two, he's able to look past the life not as a victim, but as an instrument of God, doing God's work, not focusing on the evil of being sold into slavery, but in the good of doing God's work. And third, he sees that his brothers have truly changed. When they offered to take Benjamin's place in prison, it's much easier to forgive someone when they are repentant. After that, Joseph had no choice but to give them forgiveness. So these scriptures, within them, there seems to be the hope that if Joseph's totally screwed up family can be given forgiveness and possibly even love, perhaps our screwed up family, human family, might as well. But it's been a tough week for an optimist. So exhausted at the kitchen table, I was still looking for the good in our current state of affairs. One of the commentaries that I was reading spoke about a group of women who were kidnapped in Cleveland. They'd been held hostage for many years. I'm sure you might remember this story. Until one day they finally escaped, and even though they were brutalized for years, they were able to find some good even in that horrific situation. You see, one of the young women had a child, and all of those women loved and cared for that child as if it was their own. If you look for a silver lining, you might, if you look really hard, see a glimpse of God's loving hand even in that situation. It might take time for me to find a glimpse of God in the past week, but I think I might. When I saw our bishops and the other clergy from the region come together in a peaceful protest against it, when public outrage and pushback to the hatred, I could see a glimpse of hope of God's handiwork. When I saw the people take back Charlottesville with candles and not torches, I was beginning to feel a little bit more optimistic. Hopefully the protesters from last week, from both sides, can change and learn how to discuss things instead of distrust. Joseph had a long, hard road to forgiveness, and he may have forgave his brothers. However, I don't think he forgot. And let us not forget that history tends to repeat itself if people are not vigilant. We as a society tend to suppress the past. Out of sight is out of mind. But we would be kidding ourselves. In the past 50 years, we have seen race riots in Detroit, LA, Newark, Plainfield. Some of you remember the long, hot summer of 67, or the Rodney King riots. We've seen attacks on the LGBT community long before Stonewall riots. We've seen Muslim leaders shot in the street. And how could I find God in these situations? And for what? Just because they were other or different. This week I saw an old movie clip from 1943 called Don't Be a Sucker. It was a movie made by the War Department showing how fascist rhetoric helped foster the growth of the Nazi Party. But sadly, some of the same words and sentiments spewed by the people in that movie are spewed by our leaders today and pundits. This has been a tough week for an optimist. We can never forget what brought us to this point. We need to remember that demonizing someone for the other perspective or a different point of view has brought us to this point. In listening to sensational news, false and alternative truths, saying that this guy is a misogynistic bully, a loose cannon, is equally as wrong as saying is that guy's not an American citizen. If we continue fronting hatred with hatred, we will relive the same mistakes over and over again. You may have heard the presiding bishop's comments this week. Where do we go from here? He was referencing a book written by Martin Luther King in that long, hot summer of 1967. In short, you see, we have a choice. A choice between chaos and community. We have a choice to confront hatred, no, a duty to confront hatred on every turn, peacefully, with candles and not torches, within a blessed community of love. It dawned on me that if the counter-protesters stared down the protesters in a community united, strong, with no violence, the alt-right would have been shadowboxing and seen for what they truly are. But when hatred is countered with hatred, only destruction can be achieved and both sides are wrong and liberty is trampled. Hatred and violence can only be conquered and shown for what it truly is, with love and peace. Joseph didn't know the importance of his role to the people of Israel when he was thrown into that hole and sold into slavery. It took 20 years of doing God's work to get to the point where he could forgive his brothers. I hope it doesn't take 20 years for us to forgive people we disagree with and help them join in a community. We have a choice. As a community, we have a choice to look forward instead of the past. We have a choice to forgive as a community or stand alone in chaos. Heavenly Father, there are so many lessons to learn from the story of Joseph. It shows us how you love and care for us even when times are difficult. How you rebuilt Joseph's community and spared them from chaos. It shows us that we should be loving and forgiving even when we have been treated horribly. Help us to apply these lessons in our daily life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.